I would like to greet everybody in the almighty name of our God, Jesus Christ. And what a privilege to be here and to worship with each other. And it's been a blessing being with you this morning and being inspired and seeing how needy we are of an almighty God. So I look forward to spending the week with you and learning with you. As we talk about choosing our fruit, and we take inventory of what's going on in my life, and we become serious with the things that are coming out of me, might God be with us. I like Hosea 10, it says, Hosea 10, verse 12, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I trust that's our prayer this week, that those little spots in our life, those heart places in our heart would become soft, and they would be able to receive the word of God as a seed. I remember when I was a little lad, there was this great big box truck would come to our place, and it was a guy that sold fruit. So he would come to our house, and he would open the door, and my mom would get into the box truck, and she would inspect all the fruit. And as she was walking through the box truck, she would reach out, and she would press the fruit. She would lift it, and she would choose a whole pile of fruit because there was a large family. And as we talk about our fruit, I would like to invite you to think of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, the whole list. And I invite you to reach out and make them part of your life. Take them to yourself and make them part of your life. See, I can't do it for you. The pastor this morning, he can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you, but you have to choose to reach out and make it part of your life. Otherwise, it's just an illusion. It's just something we want to be. Just wanting to be something is not, that's not the fruit. We have to make it part of our life. We have to receive it into our life. We have to choose our fruit. We have to be intentional about picking it for ourselves. So tonight, I'm going to talk about God's provision and how we can become fruitful people. He's an almighty gardener, and he knows every need that we have. There's nothing he doesn't know about us. And if we turn to Isaiah 5, I was very inspired with these scriptures in Isaiah 5. Maybe before we read that, I would like to relate a story that happened 2 years ago at school. And it was a story that really struck me. I love doing projects with the students. So every year, around February, we have a project on seeds. And I ask all the students to bring a seeds or a fruit along to school. So they all bring these different fruits to school. I can't even remember what kind of seeds we all had that year. But there were 6 third grade, and they all brought a different fruit. And we have a lot of fun tearing the fruit apart, digging out the seeds, and we would talk about how the seed DNA causes it to become another apple. If we break open an apple seed and we look inside it, you can see where the plant is going to sprout. And it's really amazing. And how the DNA in that seed knows nothing else but to become an apple tree. It can't become anything else. There's no way possible. It's going to be an apple tree. And it's interesting relating that to them and how they interact, and they like that. We eat the fruit. We prepare soil so it's ready to receive the seed. We plant these seeds. We write labels. We have a lot of fun. Usually before we set them on the shelf under the grow lamp, we pray and we ask God to to bless the seed and to cause it to increase and to grow, and so it would inspire us as we watch them. It's a lot of fun. And I think some of the youth are teachers here. I would encourage you to do projects with seeds, because there's so many lessons we can learn from seeds. We left them there for, we just left them there. Every day they would come, they would spritz them a little bit with their water, and sure enough, about 4 or 5 days later, we see these little green bumps pushing out of the soil. And we marveled at the miracle of a dead seed put into the ground. The conditions were right, and it sprouted into life, into a plant that was going to bear fruit. Let's look at Isaiah 5. God provides everything we need to be fruitful. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. Let's go back to the top of verse 2. And he fenced it. Different translations say he dug it up. He loosened it. He broke up the soil. I also like the picture of God protecting us and making sure that no harm can come to his vineyard. But he fenced it. He dug it up. And he gathered out the stones. He made sure there was no obstructions in the way for this that would hinder the growth of these vines that he planted. And he planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. We looked that these little plants would sprout, and they would bring forth plants. These seeds were going to grow, and they were going to bring forth plants. So God provides everything that we need to be fruitful. If you ever doubt that, if you ever feel dry and you don't know where you're going, you don't feel very fruitful, seek God. God provides it. It's available if we seek God. So God provides source of the seed. Who will it be? Who will plant the seeds? I think there was some sowing going on already. I think there's some pretty serious sowing going on downstairs. And I pray that God would bless your efforts in that. I think that's a beautiful thing, reaching out like that. But I think one of the most important places where we start is with parents. When God gave you children, he gave you a special calling. I'm not sure how that is. Deborah and I don't have children as of yet. Hopefully someday we can be blessed with a family. But when God gives you those children, you have a great responsibility for training them and for nurturing them in the way they should go, so that when they grow up, they won't depart from it. I like how it talks in Psalms about a man that fears God. He's a righteous man. He shall have a fruitful wife, and his children are going to be like olive plants round about his table. And it's a responsibility that we as parents have, is to train them and to take care of them and make sure they have everything they need. But never underestimate the way you live and the way you speak. Everything about you and the way you do life is planting seeds in your child's life. We can't get away from it. You're planting seeds, either good or bad. We must sow. We must. If we aren't sowing, there's a problem in your Christianity. Are you actively spreading the seed? If we turn to Luke 12 and look at the or Luke 8 and look at the parable of the sower, I think we can learn a lot of things from it. Luke 8, I'm going to start reading in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And once again, who's going to go? Which of you is that that went out? A sower went out to sow. There's action. He went. He went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that had ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. See, it's not just any seed that we're planting. We have an important seed that we're transferring into these young people's lives. And I think we also need a continual feed of that in our own life. But as we talk about children and putting those seeds into their lives, be encouraged. It's not just any seed. It has the DNA of Jesus Christ. See, when those seeds spring up, it's Jesus growing in that person. They have tremendous potential to bear fruits that will make a huge difference in this here world. Because this world needs people that are still being godly. This world needs people that shine. We have the seed of Jesus Christ, and we can plant it. I kind of put all of them there at once. Pastors, what a wonderful opportunity to plant seed. Romans 10, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" This morning, there were plenty of seeds planted that inspired me. And I thank you for sharing those thoughts. But I encourage you to be very intentional about calling people to receive the seed. So sometimes it's easy for people to, they fall on all these different types of soil, and they don't bear fruit because they get choked out. So I encourage you to preach directly to the young ones in a way so they can receive it, and then help them. Help them get those hindrances out of their way. It takes a lot of sanctification. We'll get to that later. But it's so easy for that little plant to just get squashed. And it gets destroyed. Because this world has so many attractions that it offers. 1 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Be instant, in season, and out of season. We have so many opportunities where we're not prepared. We didn't have a week to think about what I'm going to say to this guy's question. But be instant, in season, and out of season. Preach the word. Preach the word. Even when it feels like nobody's getting it, they're just not getting it. Preach the word. Get it out there to whoever you can. Because somewhere it's going to spring up. There's a guy that used to tell the story about the farmer. I think it was an illustration. I don't think it was true. But there was this farmer, and he took this verse as, let's say it's January. and the ground's frozen hard, and you're supposed to go plant corn. Why wouldn't you plant corn? And he said, sometimes it feels that way. It feels like the ground is frozen solid, and there's no way that the seed is going to get down there in the soil and make contact that it needs to grow. But we're still required to preach the word. We're still required to plant those seeds. I'm pretty sure if we would plant some seeds in the wintertime, next spring, maybe one would come up, maybe two. I'm sure there would be a few. So when it seems like the word isn't penetrating, when what you're saying doesn't make a difference, don't be discouraged. Just keep on planting. Keep on preaching the word. Peers, you have tremendous influence. And I would like to, the young people that are here, I would like to encourage you. When you speak the word, whether it be to your friends or to the children downstairs or to whoever you meet on the street, never underestimate the influence that you have. See, you can make an influence on people that nobody else can. I can't have the influence here that you can because I don't know the people. I'm not from around here. So when you as young people open your mouth, and it's even in your own setting. I was a youth then. And sometimes it just takes one person to say, I don't know if we should do that. And it causes everybody to stop and to think. So never be ashamed to speak up for God. Always take God's side. You will never regret it. And I think personally, it's important that we have an intake of the word. And that's for all of us. If we don't have a daily diet of the word of God, if we don't have a daily diet of Jesus Christ, we're probably going to run into trouble. We're not going to be very fruitful. How much time do you spend reading the word of God? What is your intake? Just a little bit, and then we're off to work. Just a little bit here and there. Is family devotions enough? We just partake in family devotions. Is that enough? Or we wait till church and we let the pastor teach us. That's not enough. You need a personal intake of the word, and it will show. It will show in your life. Because if we don't have an intake, we can't spread the seed. See, the sower had some kind of seed. And if we are supposed to be a sower of the seed, we need resources. We need to have access to the seed. And there's just one way to get it, and that is by being in the Word. So fill your life with the Word so you can spread those seed and to be ready at a moment's notice to give an answer for your faith. There were a lot of people that spoke into my life. My mom, dad had a tremendous influence on me. I'm sure I wasn't always the easiest to teach. And I'm sure I wasn't always receptive of that seed. But I remember the night after many years of sowing seed and talking to me, I remember the night that I was under conviction. And I knew what I needed to do. And I didn't get to that point by mistake. I didn't get to that point. God could have led me to that point, but it was directly related to what people were teaching me. I remember coming home from the singing. We had a youth hymn singing, and I was so miserable and so discouraged and afraid. afraid I would die. And a few times before that, it was so close that I had just surrendered everything. But I remember that night coming home and knowing what I needed to do. So I knelt by my bed, and I asked God to forgive me, and I got saved. And that little seed sprang up to a young plant. I was saved. I was saved from Satan, from sin, and from myself, my selfishness. That was the result of somebody planting seed. And then one day, a green little sprout. I wasn't very stable. I wasn't a very steady Christian, you could say. It was just a small seedling. But it had the DNA of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that the people around me wondered, I wonder if he is ever going to bear any fruit. Will he ever mature to the place where there's going to be a fruit? It's not always easy, and I want you to keep on preaching, like I said, when it seems that it won't help. Keep on preaching. In Psalms 126, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." It doesn't always mature. It needs help. This little plant, it's growing and it's growing, and something needs to happen with this little plant pretty soon. I'm not even sure what kind of a plant it is, but let's say it's an apple tree. If this is an apple tree, it's going to need a little help pretty soon, because soon it's going to go crooked. And soon there's going to be shoots coming out everywhere that are not where they should be. They're not. You see, a young person has so many places where he needs direction. He has so many places where he thinks wrong. And he needs guidance. He needs help to think correctly. He needs sanctification. He needs sanctification unto holiness. And that's what we need. We need to be sanctified. It's a process. Are you willing? Are you willing to get clipped here and a little bit here? And we have those hard spots. We have those spots in our life that are very unfruitful. Are you willing to get pruned? I like sanctification, the definition of sanctification. It says to make holy, to purify, or consecrate, to free from sin, purify. I think we need to understand, you can be saved. That little seed can sprout. But if that seed doesn't grow, if that plant doesn't grow, there's a problem. There's a sickness, and it's going to die out pretty soon. And just the same way, if a sanctification is a way to move us on, if we just stay at the saved place, oh yeah, I'm born again. And you hear a lot of people do that. They're once saved, always saved. Yeah, I'm born again. And that's all they ever did. They never advanced in their Christian life. They're not fruitful. They're not very useful in the kingdom of God. Sanctification is the carrying on to perfection, the work begun in regeneration, and it extends to the whole man. It is very thorough. If we allow ourselves, to be pruned, it doesn't always feel well. It doesn't always feel nice. We don't enjoy it. But if we allow ourselves to be totally yielded to the Almighty Gardener as he comes with his pruning shears, I want to encourage you, you will be very fruitful. When he looks that it would bear grapes, he will find them. Does he see them tonight? Tonight he's looking. He's looking at your lives. What is he seeing? Choose your fruit. First Thessalonians 5. I'm looking at 24, but I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is so much good advice for those young Christians, those little saplings. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, despise not teaching. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Everything, every part of you, it's very thorough if we let it, if we allow it. That sanctification process is so thorough that it will take away all the dross in our life. It's a process. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So I would like to ask us a question. You would all, I don't know where you're going as far as who's born again. I trust as adults that we all have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it says that faithful is he that called you. So you would all say, yeah, I'm called. Who also will do it? Will do what? He will sanctify you. So is he doing it? Is he doing it in your life? What was the last thing that you know that he pinched off and you felt it? See, we resist sanctification. We just want to be holy. I just want to be a holy person. Get me to a holy stage. I don't want to face all that pain. What were the last things in your life that when you were reading the Bible, you say, oh, I'm not there. I need to improve in that. That's sanctification. When the Word of God speaks to us in a way and we know something has to change in my life. Or it's people speaking into my life and saying, do you know that's how you affect others? And it calls me to change. That's sanctification. Anything that causes us to be more holy, more like Him. If we resist it, we'll be in trouble. And let's remember, God doesn't do it because he says, if you're my child, I'm going to give it to you. He loves us. He wants us to be like him. There was once this guy that asked the man who was carving a bear with a chainsaw, how do you do that? How can you carve a bear with a chainsaw? And he said, well, you just cut away everything that doesn't look like a bear. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. And we need to cut away everything and trim away everything until we are more like him. I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt. He's the Lord that brings us up out of our sin. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a direct command from God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness, I think the highest form of holiness is God. God is holiness. On this earth, we can't attain that holiness. I don't think we can be as holy as God here. But that DNA is in us. And we make steps toward holiness. I like Isaiah 6. It just tells us how holy God is, and it's the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another. They were crying to each other. They were calling to each other, and he said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Do you see God as a holy God? What is your opinion of him? And do you have a desire to be like him? Because holiness is required of us. So yield yourself to the process of that sanctification, because the end result is holiness. And we could talk about all the fruits of the Spirit that need to be part of our life. I'm going to call it holiness. You need to be holy. If you live in holiness, if you are holy, if you are like God, those things are going to flow out of your life. Those things are naturally going to become part of your life if you pursue holiness. Hebrews 12. It's a beautiful chapter about chastising and how God loves us. Hebrews 12, I'm going to start reading at verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" I would like to encourage you, if you have a father that chastised you, and he spanked you, and he punished you when you needed it, I would like for you to thank your parents for that. Because downstairs is fruits. Two sets of fruits. Some children get disciplined because their mom and dads love them. Some of the children downstairs don't get disciplined. And there's fruits. It will show up. If you love your children, chastise them. Just the way God loves us. And he chastises us. Accept it. Change. I don't know what you do with your children if they don't accept the chastisement. There was a situation in school where it was a really sweet little girl. It was in first grade. She was really tender. But she didn't obey. And she didn't work. And I had to chastise her time and time again. Sometimes it would help a little bit. And I often was kind of discouraged because it seemed like this chastising wasn't helping. But I loved her. And I wanted her to listen. So I kept on chastising her. And I pray that God won't let you go. That he keeps on putting the pressure on until you yield. Until you start listening. Until you start allowing him to go clip, clip. Let him. "Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lamed be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed." So we see that the way we allow ourselves to be sanctified makes a difference on the people that are coming behind us. So if you refuse to be sanctified, if you refuse to live a holy life, be assured that your children and the people that you influence, they're going to go astray. It's going to have a direct impact on their life. It's a big responsibility. Do we see the need for holiness? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. See, all that chastising, all that sanctifying, it leads to holiness. And without that holiness, we're not going to see God. We're not going to see the Almighty Gardener that so diligently took care of us and called us and sanctified us. We need to yield to that sanctification. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't forget the influence. It's way bigger than we often think, the influence we have on other people. Whether we live a holy life or whether we live an unholy life, it will leave an impact on somebody. We could also think of John 15 when we think about sanctification and chastising. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And there's that question. Which part of me needs to be clipped off? Which part of me is not bearing fruit? Where am I not totally yielded? God is willing. He's willing to help us become fruitful in that place. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Bear much fruit. What is that fruit? Holiness. Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, the whole list. God is glorified. There is praise in heaven when you in New Holland bear fruit. Why? Because it built his kingdom. It makes a difference how you bear fruit. It isn't always easy bearing fruit. Did you ever see a big... Let's take a fruit tree. And let's take a peach tree. So we have this huge peach tree. And we like the stage where it's getting green, it's spring is here, and the tree is blossoming, it smells so nice, and it looks so nice, and we marvel at the beauty, at the promise of fruit. We like that stage. It feels nice. But just a few short weeks later, that tree is so heavy, so full of fruit, that it can almost not bear it. I've seen trees that have been propped up because they were so heavy laden with fruit. God is glorified if we are those people. It's not always easy. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we don't feel like anybody else is helping me. Why is nobody else with me on this journey of bearing fruit for the kingdom? And it feels so heavy. There are times when those branches break off. Don't get discouraged bearing fruit. When it feels heavy, when it feels like there's nobody else helping, when you don't have anybody to prop you up and encourage you, don't be discouraged. Keep on. Don't break off. It's very harmful to the whole tree. Keep on. Which one are you? And he looked should bring forth grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. So why, after Jesus Christ coming, going into the grave, and dying, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone? But when it yields itself, then it will spring up and bear fruit 100-fold. It's fruitful. Jesus came, he died, and he provided everything that we need to be fruitful. Why? Why are so many Christians okay with this knobby, ugly little fruit? Which one? Which one is us? And I'm not talking about a church group. I'm talking about me as an individual. We can't hide. We can't hide behind the big clump and say, we're a fruitful tree. There might be fruitful people in this church, and God is well pleased. In this same body, there might be people that are very unfruitful, and they need to be sanctified very much. But we need to be responsible for ourselves. If I don't take responsibility for the fruit that looks so yucky in my life, if I don't choose better fruit, I'm going to get cut off. And that is a separation. That is a separation from Jesus Christ. That is a separation from the Almighty Gardener, where if we refuse sanctification and we refuse to bear fruit of holiness, there is destruction for us. But it's so possible. It's so easy. But we have to choose. Don't expect it to happen just because you are part of a church that is flourishing. That doesn't work. It's an individual responsibility. And then when individuals choose, when individuals say, I can do this, and they help a needy person, and when everybody does that, all of a sudden you have a very fruitful vineyard. And God says, wow. It's hard for me to think that God looks down on Harvey Miller and he sees these yucky-looking fruits. I don't want God to see that when he looks at me. It's difficult for me to think that's me. How can we know? I think we have to look through God's lenses. If you don't have holiness coming out of your life, don't expect God to look at you and say, wow. Which one are you? A few days later, I looked at our plants and I said, I wonder what's going on with these things. Normally, when we planted green seeds, fresh out of the fruit, we didn't give them very much attention. We cleaned them off a little bit and we put them in the soil. That's about it. We watered them. And just about never would they come up and sprout so quickly. So I wondered, each of these little pots had these little green sprouts. I became suspicious. And so I asked the third grade class, could you go check on your plants and tell me what you think about them? So they went and checked them out and they watered them. And they said, they're all the same size. And the plants, they all look the same. We planted different seeds. Why do these plants all look the same? And I said, yeah, you're right, I saw that too. So I went to investigate. And our time's maybe not quite up, but I think I'm going to leave it at that. And tomorrow night we're going to continue and see what happened. But there was a hindrance. There was a problem. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.